Let's turn to the passage then that we read earlier in the service, 1 Timothy 1. And there's a verse there that we're going to use as a springboard, if you like, or a basis for our thoughts from God's word today. And that verse is verse 5. So 1 Timothy 1, and the verse is verse 5. And most of us will know the context. Timothy is a young minister, and he's having a particularly difficult time. I think it was 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night that we thought about the difficult time that Timothy is having. We've thought about it over the years. And he's having particular difficulty with members of his congregation, those who are older than him, people who in his congregation love nothing more than a debate. And they like to debate the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And Paul begins this letter by encouraging Timothy to continue his work as a minister in the face of so many discouragements. So let's read verse 5 then. Paul writes, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." And I think it was in our prayer meetings we looked at this verse. And there's been a number of themes, I think, emerging in recent weeks. And what I want to do today is, based on this verse, I want to pull together at least 5 themes that we seem to have been considering in recent weeks. And I want to join these themes together by the opening phrase of verse 5. Now, the purpose of the commandment. What Paul is saying there is, think of all the sermons you listen to, all the Bible studies you go to, all the readings of your Bible that you do. What's the point of it all? And what Paul is doing here, he's giving us a big point, the ultimate goal for all that we do with the word of God. So I want you to do this morning. I want you to keep in mind the fact that we are focusing on the big picture. What's the ultimate goal for all the study of the word of God that we do? And we are going to keep that in mind by drawing 5 themes into that larger goal. So the larger goal then, verse 5, what's the purpose? What's the point? What's the goal of all our study of the Word of God? And we're going to bring 5 themes into that larger goal. Well, let's ask God to speak to us then as we turn to His Word. Lord our God, we have so many opportunities to listen to Your Word preached. We've so many opportunities to study it together. Lord, we don't always make the most of them, but we thank you for them. Lord, we know that our Bibles are in our homes day by day, and we could choose to read them or not, but our Bibles are there. So we are thinking about then this morning, what's the great goal of all our study? Lord, we know that when we listen to a sermon, we are fed at the time. But we're also thinking today about the ultimate aim of what it is. What do you want, our God, for us as we think about your word, as we hear it in our Christian lives? So we commend ourselves to you then, and we ask your blessing upon us, and we pray, our God, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start with this verse. We're going to range around the New Testament a bit, so I'm sure all of us are used to doing that. So let's begin with the verse itself. So what Paul is telling us then, there is an ultimate purpose to hearing the word of God. And in verse 5, there's one thing I want to ask you to focus on, and that's the reference to conscience. So you can see it there in verse 5. Let me read the verse again. The purpose of the commandment, or the ultimate goal of hearing God's word, is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So let's take that reference out to conscience. The ultimate goal of hearing the word of God is that we have a clear conscience. And I want to sum it up like this. This phrase refers to our relationship with God. And the ultimate purpose of studying God's word together is that we have a clear conscience before God. Now, I want you to be very careful right now, because you and I, we have a tendency, don't we, to turn the word of God into a set of instructions. And that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul isn't saying you've got to try your best to have a clear conscience. What Paul is telling you is this. If you hear the word of God, if you understand it aright, then you will know that before God, your conscience is always clear. God regards you as someone with a clear conscience. So the sermons you hear then, and the readings that you do, rightly understood, will show you, as we've sung this morning, that there is no guilt and there is no fear before you and God. So when we feel guilt, or when we feel shame in the presence of God, it's not because of what we've done, it's because we haven't seen clearly that the purpose of the commandment is a clear conscience. So if we think of the word of God and we rightly understand it, we'll see that God has done everything for us so that our conscience can be clear in his presence. If we've understood what God has done in Christ, if we've understood his life, his death, his resurrection, if we understand how he is at the right hand of God, praying for us, sympathizing with us, then we will see that before God, we have no reason for guilt or for fear or for shame or for any kind of negative emotion, negative attitude that would cause us to withdraw ourselves from the presence of God. This verse then is telling you something that is already true of you, but we need to see it. It's already the case for us in Christ, but we need to understand it. So let's begin here. In our relationship with God, we have a clear conscience because of his Son, Jesus Christ, because of the work that God has done in Christ for you and me. And that's the purpose. So we come Sunday by Sunday, we listen to the word of God preached, and our understanding is being built. We are having our doctrines put together for us so that we can see that in as we look up, as we look towards God, there is no reason that we should ever feel before this God who has loved us and chosen us and given his Son for us that we should ever feel guilt. So take this first point then and summarize it like this. The purpose of the commandment is to show us that we always have a clear conscience before God. Now, some of you will say, okay, what about our sins? What about the things we do wrong? And that's how we build our understanding up. When you think of 1 John 1 verse 9, confess your sins. The idea there is of a coming to God day by day in the light of what he's done in his son so that we may continue to know that we have a clear conscience before God. So, lesson number one, theme number one, purpose of the commandment is to show us the state of our conscience before God. Let's move on and look at the second of these themes that we've been considering in recent weeks. Will you turn across to 2 Timothy and chapter 1? And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, there's a verse that we again looked at in our prayer meeting, verse 7, that we again love, many of you do, I know, and it's this idea of an outlook. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, here the idea then is that the purpose of the commandment, the whole reason why we listen to the word of God and study it together, is that we might understand what God has given to us. So we already have from God a spirit of, not of fear, but God has already given us a spirit of, and there it is in verse 7, power and love and a sound mind. We have it already. And this verse is speaking to us about a spirit, an outlook, a way of thinking, a way of understanding. So let's think of it like this. If the first verse we looked at was a reference to our relationship to God, here we have a reference to our relationship to events, the events of life. What happens to us as we go through the weeks and the months and the years? God has given to us a way of looking at life that isn't about fear. It isn't about anxiety. God has given us a way of looking at life where we can understand the events of life from the point of view of power and love and a sound mind. And the purpose of the commandment, then, all the reasons why we study the word of God and hear sermons preached, is to understand that we can now look at life not with a spirit of fear, but we can look at life with all its events in the way described here. So let's take up a counter-argument, shall we? And I think we discussed this in our meeting during the week. If that's the case, then, why do we fall apart as Christians? Why do we find ourselves stressed out and anxious about life? And of course we do. And one of the reasons why we're going to study the book of James on a Sunday is to help us explore why it is then, if we have been given this way of looking at life, which isn't about fear, why do we so often feel afraid? And why are we so often anxious? So let's take that theme up. We'll begin tonight as we look at the book of James. But what I want you to see here is this. This verse is an appeal to look at the events of life from the point of view of what you've learned in the Word of God. It's an appeal to live in the light of what you know. Or if you like, it's an appeal to be what you are. God has given you a way of looking at life in which you know you'll have the power of God. God has given you a way of looking at life so that you know his love is always available for you. God has given you a way of looking at life so that you can think about life in the right way, a sound mind. So the appeal is, be what you are. It's not try to be what you're not. It's about being who you are as a child of God, living in the light of his word as you look out on life with all its events. So our second verse, it's the purpose of the commandment is to help us to live with the attitude God has given us, the outlook, the spirit that is already ours, our relationship to events. Okay, so if you're still with me then, let's turn to the third theme that I want you to think about. And this time, let's turn to Matthew's Gospel. And I want you to look at chapter 7. So in your Bibles, then turn back several books, all the way back as far as Matthew and chapter 7. And we are going to think about, for a minute or two, this whole idea of planks and specks of dust. Matthew 7. Let's read verses 3 to 5. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, there's a plank in your own? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye. Now, what's this about? These verses are a reflection on the subject of personal insight, understanding yourself, having insight into your own weaknesses, having insight and awareness of your own struggles, knowing what you're like. And the great challenge to all of us, of course, is that we are blind to the truths about ourselves. We see the truths of others very clearly, and that's what Jesus is saying here. So as we look around this morning, we can easily see each other's faults. And as you look up at me, you can easily see mine. Mine are on display for you to see every time I preach to you. We can see each other's faults very clearly. What we can't see is what our own are, where our own hard edges are, where there's work to be done in our own lives in terms of our own personalities and our own struggles. So what I'm saying to you as a third idea this morning is this. The purpose of God's commandments, the whole purpose, if you like, of looking at the Word of God is that we see what our relationship to God is like. We've got a good conscience. We see what our relationship to events are like, and we don't need to be afraid. This third one, what's our relationship to ourselves? And when it comes to our relationship to ourself, the purpose of God's word is to give us insight into our own weaknesses, our own struggles, our own sharp edges that can bruise other people in our encounters with them. We need to see it, because if we can see it, then we are able by the grace of God to address it, and then we are able to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this is a very tricky subject. Looking at ourselves honestly. Because there are some of us here who spend too much time thinking about ourselves. We get very down and very hard on ourselves, very critical of ourselves, and we are very unfair to ourselves. Now, I'm not advocating that for a second. There are others of us who never spend a second of the day reflecting on ourselves. And I would say to you, I don't recommend that either. We need to be honest with ourselves and the struggles that we have. We need to see them, the faults in our own character, not the faults in other characters, but those in our own. And to do so in the presence of God, so that his work may continue in our lives. Now, one of the reasons why we're doing this today, this morning, is because we're going to take communion together. And communion should be the only time in your life as a Christian when you honestly face yourself and you honestly look at your own weaknesses and you ask yourself some honest questions about what you're really like and how difficult you may be or how you may have some work that needs to be done yet in your life as a human being. We do it here on a Sunday at communion. And then immediately we take the bread and we take the cup and we remind ourselves of a God who loves us, who gave his son for us. And straight away we are reminding ourselves of the answer to all the weaknesses and the struggles that we have with ourselves. So, time's going quickly then. Let me sum up what we've done so far. The whole purpose of the commandment is help us to see that before God we've got a clear conscience, that as we look at life with all its events, we don't need to be afraid. We can have an outlook of love and power and a sound mind. In our relationship with ourselves, the purpose of the commandment is to be honest with ourselves and our struggles and our weaknesses and our faults, and then to address that through Jesus Christ. We've got two more. Turn across to 1 Thessalonians to look at number 4, if you will. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And in this theme, the idea is, what's the purpose of the commandment in terms of our relationship with each other? The church. Well, take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and encourage one another, just as you are also doing. The whole purpose of God's law is that you and I encourage one another. Now, we spent a whole Sunday morning on this theme just a few weeks ago. So all I want to do is remind you that we can easily discourage each other. Easiest thing in the world to point out to one another what we lack, what we don't have. But the purpose of the law of God is to help us encourage one another. Now, I really want to encourage you to encourage each other, to encourage members of the fellowship that you may not know very well, to do perhaps what you've not done before, and seek active ways to encourage each other. People that you may look at in our fellowship and you may think, I've got nothing to say to that person. I don't do the sort of things that she does during the week. I haven't lived the life like she has. But nonetheless, you can still encourage each other. Whoever we are, whatever we're going through, we can encourage one another. And that's the purpose of the commandment. So, our relationship to God, events, ourselves, each other. Let's finish, shall we, with a verse that talks about our relationship to life. Life as a whole now. Not just events, but life as a whole. Turn back a few books, and it's our last reference for the morning 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. Let's turn back a few pages there, shall we? And in 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 through to 10, you've got this long conversation that Paul is having with the church at Corinth about a promise they made years earlier, but they haven't fulfilled yet. And it's a promise to send money to the starving Christians in Macedonia, a famine. And this wealthy church at Corinth had promised aid, they promised relief, and they hadn't delivered on the promise. So Paul gives chapter after chapter all about the need to give. And look at what he says here in chapter 9 and verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's end with this thought. One of the great dangers in looking at the Word of God is that we become takers. We come on a Sunday, what do we get out of a sermon? We take. And we come along to a Bible study, and what do we get out of a Bible study? And we take. And the great danger is we become takers. And we like a sermon if it tells us something we didn't know before. Or we like a sermon if it was interesting. And we take away from it. And we're always in this attitude of taking something from. And it's a really difficult thing. It's a really troublesome thing if we become takers but not givers. And the purpose of the commandment is an understanding that we delight God when we have a spirit that gives to him and gives to each other and gives to churches we know nothing about and gives to life in general. A giving spirit is a delight to God. Now, it's not just about money, so please don't think this is about money. This is about a way of looking at life. How can I give of myself and give to others? And in knowing that and doing that, we cause delight to God. So here's my plan. I'm going to take these five themes, I'm going to write them down in my Bible and reflect on them throughout the year. And I'd encourage you to do the same. Keep in mind then, what's the point of it all? What's the point of sermons and study and reading? There are five of them, remember? So that you may understand your relationship to God, you always have a clear conscience. That you can understand your relationship to life's events. We don't have a spirit of fear. I can understand my relationship to myself. I can understand my relationship to you is to encourage you. And the purpose of the commandment is to be a giver, not a taker, but someone who gives and who brings delight to God. Well, let's pray, shall we?